your leadership council asked me to if I would like to find somebody to bring the message this morning, and I said, well, why don't you all do it? And they said, well, we'd rather for you to do it. And you know, if the speaker's not good, it's my fault. You know, no, it's going to be great. I'm privileged and honored to introduce someone very dear to my heart. This is someone that was preaching the message or messages in a revival that I attended back in 1979. And yes, I was just a youngster at that time. Back in 1979, he and his wife, young evangelists, they were doing revival services. He was preaching a revival. I was not saved, but I was going and participating in the music of this church. It wasn't my home church. But I was going to participate in the music of the church. Number one, because I had my eye on this blonde-headed gal that sang really good, and you know, and so I had no intentions as a backslidden Pentecost Assemblies of God boy. I had no intentions of going to that revival to get saved. Okay, that wasn't my intentions at all. I was trying to impress the girls or the girl. This fellow preached a message, and in my mind I can remember it like just like it was yesterday. And there was a wooden piano that sat on the left side of the sanctuary of that church, and I can remember this young evangelist walking over and smacking his hand down on the top of that wooden spinet piano and saying, you know, I'm just praying that tonight, if you're in this place and you're not saved, I'm praying that you won't be able to sleep at night until you come to know Jesus. And he made me not sleep. It wasn't him, but it was the prayers, if you would. And this, it wasn't in that particular service, but just in a few short days from there, I re-surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And that's been a few years ago, if you do the math. But I tell you, God has been gracious to me. He has been good to me. He has blessed me in so many ways. This fella, come on up here, Brother Martin. Come on up, Brother Martin, join me. He dedicated my son. He and his wife were our pastors, and they dedicated my son. He helped bury my wife, my first wife. And he's been a friend. I've got some pictures of him, by the way, when his hair was a little bit darker.
Oh, okay.
His hair was a little bit darker, and his skin was, like mine, was a little bit...
I colored it, babe, to make me look a little better.
But, yeah, I know. I did the same thing here. But I can't say, and I take it Sister Nadine's not with you.
She's not with you.
But we love he and his precious wife, Nadine. And they've been a blessing to me. And I got to tell you something today. And he loves me, so he's not going to get offended at me. This man, do any of you all older folks, do you all remember Brother Roy Questenberry? Do you remember Brother Roy? Jimmy and Connie, look at this man. And I know he's not necessarily close kin. I don't guess you're kin at all.
No.
But when you look at him, don't he favor Roy Questenberry just a little bit?
Man, that's a great compliment.
That is a great compliment, because that was one of your heroes in the faith, right?
Yes.
And so it's just a blessing to have you. We're going to release Children's Church. If you're between ages 4 and 11, Miss Whitney is back at the back of the sanctuary, and she'll take you to Children's Church. The rest of us are going to stay here in the sanctuary, and Brother Philip Martin from Blacksburg, the Merrimack community.
Yes.
Is going to be preaching for us this morning. So would you give him a hand as he comes to minister the word?
My wife sends her regards. She had certainly planned on being with me today, but her health would not allow her to be here. So you keep her in your prayers We certainly need the prayers of the people of God. She's been going through a real battle and a real struggle in her physical life. So you keep her in prayer. We know God is able. We know that God will, if we put our faith and trust in Him, He'll take care of us. When everybody else forsakes us and turns their back on us and don't want to have anything else to do with us, we know that God is always there, don't we? He's always there. I asked one of your deacons, I said, do you have a bottle of water? I've been having some dental work done, and how many of you know what that's like? They've been going in my head doing things that I never knew could be done. But it's caused me to have a little bit of a dry mouth, and so I got some water up here just in case. But while I'm talking about this, you heard the story about the new pastor that went to the church. And when he got there, he told one of the deacons, he said, I want a large pitcher of water set on a stand beside the pulpit, just in case I need it. And then when he went to the pulpit, he said, when I'm finished with this water, I'm finished preaching. So he preached on, and went on forever, seemingly. Finally, the pitcher was empty, and he quit preaching. On the way out the door, one of the men at the church said, Sister, how do you like our new pastor? She said, well, I don't know. He's the first windmill I've ever seen run off of water. So if I have to grab a drink of water, you please understand. If they can play my music for me, I want to try to sing a song that the Lord has laid on my heart. Nadine and I love this song. We sing it together a lot. You worship with me as we try to sing. This valley is for me. Any of you been there? Ever been in a valley before? As I look down this mountainside, I can see where this road goes. The shepherd is leading me to a place that I can grow. Though it seems to be a trying test, I have no doubt He knows what's best. It might be a place of perfect rest. This valley is for me. This valley is for me. The waters have been made so sweet. Precious place for my weary feet. This valley is for me. This valley, I know without a doubt, this valley is for me. Hallelujah. Standing here beside still waters, I know why I'm here today. This place of restoration, leading me along the way. Through this valley I can feel His presence here is oh so real. Now I know it was His perfect will. This valley is for me. This valley is for me. The waters have been made so sweet. Precious place for my weary feet. This valley is for me. Up on high from the mountain sea, the pasture has been made so free. Shepherd chose this valley, no without a doubt, this valley is for me. through this valley. Amen. We're to walk through it. My shepherd chose this valley, no, without a doubt, this valley is for me.
When the green light comes on, it says I'm ready to progress forward. Amen. NR and I go back a good ways. He's a rascal, you know that. I mean, if he's been your pastor for a couple of years now, and you know he is a rascal. We did have some wonderful times together. I pastored the church he attended for 1 year, and then I left and came back and pastored it for 4 years. I love punishment. But I guess the strangest thing, NR's always a good guy. He was on my board. He served as one of our deacons at the church for quite some time. And he was always very positive in his mind about what we needed to do to build our church. Now, mind you, not everybody that sits in a board meeting has their mind set on the growth of the church. And not everybody has the same vision. And you know, it's scary when everybody doesn't have the same vision. When you sit down in a board meeting, you need people that catch your vision. They need to know what your vision is for this church or for that church. And if they have the vision that you have, you can grow. It's not a question of will we grow. It's the question of how much we'll grow. If you catch the vision. But some people don't always have the vision. I guess one of the strangest things that ever happened to me, I'd been in the ministry for quite a while, and you know, I'd been to gospel singings, been to some bluegrass gospel, and you know, it's okay. I don't necessarily say I love it, but I was content with it. And I went to Max Meadows to pastor, and I'm sitting there waiting to preach, and this guy gets up with a banjo. Yeah, have you heard him play a banjo yet? Have you played it for him yet? No? We had a piano, a bass guitar, and he gets up with a banjo. And I thought, now, how is this going to work? I mean, that's a strange combination to me. So I sit there through it, and he started playing that banjo. And I'm telling you, church, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. NR did with the music behind him, he played so softly and so beautifully on that banjo that it touched my heart. But I'm going to be honest with you, I was scared when he first got up there. I thought, this is probably not going to work out the way I thought it was going to. But it did, and it blessed people's hearts. I knew NR's first wife, Dixie. We were in church many years together, and she was a great girl. She was a real, really wonderful woman. She served God, and I know she loved Him. Ain't no doubt about it. And God chose to take her home. But you know, when God takes something away from us, He normally gives us something back. So He gave him Sarah. And she's been a blessing to his life. Talked to him a number of times since then. And she has been just such a blessing to him. And I'm thankful for her. I'm glad God sent him somebody that loved church and loved God and wanted to do great things for the Lord. Any of you want to do something great for the Lord? Is there anybody in here that would like to do something great? I'm not talking about just normal or average. Do something great for the Lord, to make a difference in this world. Well, that's possible. God has provided in His Word the way, the path for us to go if we want to do great things for the Lord. And so I want to call your attention to some scripture. I know you've probably heard it before, but go with me in your Bibles, if you will, back in the Old Testament. Now, I know that I hope you haven't, but there are some churches that threw the Old Testament away. You know, it's just It's irrelevant to what we're doing today. It's irrelevant to the ministry today. But the Bible says it's our schoolmaster. It's our teacher. If you look at what God did, somebody listen to me this morning. If you read and listen to what God did in the Old Testament, you're going to find out what God's going to do in the New Testament and in the New Testament church. This is just a shadow of things that are going to happen in the church world as we go along. You look around and say, Brother Martin, are you sure things look really dull right now? I'm not too impressed with the things that are happening. Well, that's okay. God's still on the throne. He still knows what He's doing. Go with me to 2 Kings. Let's start reading at verse 9, and I want to read several verses of Scripture. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, Now listen, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, some people don't, they think it's defacing, but if you don't mind marking in your Bible, if it's not ready, mark this in your Bible. I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou seest me when I am taken from thee, it shall be as unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? If you see me when I go away, you're going to get your blessing, double blessing. If you don't, you're not. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the blessings and thank you for the opportunity to come together in your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here today to minister to our need. Give us the victory as we stand in your presence and help us to do your will and to do your work and not be afraid of what lies ahead, but be understanding of the things that you have chosen to do in our lives, and we'll not cease to praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I've been serving the Lord for a little while now. As you can see by my gray hair, I retired from pastoring at the conference with 42 years, I believe it was, of ministry. I spent 20 plus years in pastoring and almost 20 years in evangelistic work. So I've been in the ministry for a while. But as I've gone along in life, when I first got saved, some of these ministers would come in, older ministers at that time to me, they would come in and my pastor oftentimes would say to me and my wife, you never ask God why. Have you ever heard that? Has anybody ever said to you, son, you don't ask God why? It is what it is. And God is in control. And you don't ever, ever ask God why. And I took that face value. I thought, well, if he's telling me you don't ask God why, then I'm not going to ask God why. Until I got to studying the Scripture, until I got to reading and understanding the Word of God for myself, and when I read this verse of Scripture, I saw here where Elisha looked up to heaven and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Can I ask you something? What is the difference between "where" and "why"? Do you see a difference in what's being said here? Where or why? Let me draw your attention to another verse of Scripture. I just happened to run across it. You might be familiar with it. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.'" That is to say, if you haven't got this marked in your Bible, you should have. That is to say, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, is it wrong to ask God why? Jesus asked the Father, "Why? Why have you left me? Why have you allowed this to happen to me? Why am I in this situation?" Well, Elijah did the same thing. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He could have just as easily said, "Why is the God of Elijah not here with me in this difficult time?" You know that Elisha had followed Elijah for 9 years and been his subject. He had been everywhere with him and done everything with him and saw all these great things. And Elijah in the Bible was a miracle worker. He did great things. He was the kind of guy that could take an empty cruise of oil and fill it up. He was the kind of guy that could take an empty meal barrel and fill it up. And not just fill it up, but fill it up till it overflows. Now, church, there's a difference in filling something up and filling it up till it overflows. Elijah was a miracle worker. So I deem to change the idea here. I don't really think that Elijah was asking, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I think he was saying, "God, why have you left me here like this? Why? Why have you allowed..." I've been with Elijah. I've seen him. I've watched him. I have assisted in him in some of the things he's done. But I've never done a miracle before. I'm just your subject, and you've left me standing here now with nothing. But if you look back in this verse of Scripture, the Bible said that when Elijah was taken away, that his mantle fell right beside of Elijah. God is telling us something. Elijah was right there when Elijah was taken up. And when Elijah was taken up, the mantle fell right there beside of him. And I can see Elijah now saying, "What good is this? Lord, why is this? Why are you leaving me this thing?" And he rent his clothes. He got angry and upset. And rent his clothes. God was saying, by that mantle falling there beside of Elijah, God simply said, "You got your request. You got what you asked for. You wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and you got a double portion." So here we are, a double portion of the Spirit of God. Now, Elijah said to Elijah, "You've asked a hard thing." And it is hard. Because Elijah said, first of all, "It's not my spirit. And secondly, it's not mine to give. You guys will have to forgive me. Maybe I should have thought better about this." But Elijah left Elijah a double portion. Not Elijah, really, but God left Elijah a double portion of his spirit. And to me, what that means is God's going to allow Elijah to do twice as much. Not greater work than Elijah did, but greater in quantity. He's going to be able to do more. And if you study Scripture, if you read the Bible, and if you study the history of the Bible, you'll find out that Elijah performed 16 miracles in his life by the help of God. I am so sorry, folks. But Elisha performed 32. So what does that tell you? When you add 16 and 16, he got 32. He got exactly what he asked for. And Elijah basically just asked God, why did you leave me here alone? Why leave me here by myself? I don't know what to do. Yeah, I've seen Elijah. I've watched him. But I've never done what he's done. I'm only a student. But in dropping his mantle, Elijah reached down out of anger, I'm assuming, and picked it up as if to say, what am I supposed to do with this? But he took it and went over and smote the River Jordan. And how, you remember what it said? The waters rolled back. God said to Elijah, you have the same anointing that Elijah had. If you will take this mantle and use it for the glory of God, you're going to see great things happen in your ministry. And as I prayed about this and thought about it last night, how many of us sitting in this building or standing here, how many of us have a mantle laying beside of us? The mantle of our Lord Jesus Christ is right there with you. Right there beside of you. And all you need to do is reach down and pick it up. You either stand there and look at it and think, what am I, like Elisha, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, church, God's given us a work to do. You have a work to do. I have a work to do. We're called. We're anointed. We're sent. There's work to be accomplished. There are souls that are unsaved in this community. There are people that are backslidden. There are people that have just gotten out of church completely. They just left. Because something was said or something was done. I was pastoring a church on one occasion not so long ago. And the people had joined the church about 6 months ahead of time. I don't like doing this, but the church posted all the information on the board out back. How much tithe everybody paid and all that good stuff, attendance. They walked back and saw that board hanging there and saw their name and the amount of tithe that they paid to the church and left and never came back. If it offended them that bad, why didn't they just give more? Can you imagine a person leaving church? Now, I finally ended up convincing the church to take that board down. As I told you, I don't like the numbers board. I don't like those boards hanging up front that says, oh, we had 60 in service. I just don't like them. There are people. There are people with needs. There are hurting people in this area. There are broken homes, broken marriages, rebellious children, people's lives out of control. Any of you realize we're living in a difficult time? Do you realize we're living in a trying time? Is your faith being tested? Is our faith, is the faith of the church being tested? Sure it is. And if we don't reach down and take that mantle like Elijah did, we're going to see some difficult things happen down the road. But I'm believing. Elijah said, why'd you leave that to me? Well, God said, I've got a work for you to do. As I called Elijah and sent him out, and as he did great things in my name, you're going to go out and do great things in my name. And church, you're going to go out. If you're faithful and dedicated to God, you're going to go out and do great things for the Lord. You're not going to sit and wait on the pastor to do it. Been in the ministry all these years, I have listened to all kinds of preachers. Probably not a good thing. Amen. I've listened to all kinds of preachers. I've heard them that preach like lightning. They just strike here and strike there and strike. How many of you know thunder won't kill you, but lightning will? I've heard them get up, and I mean, I'm shocked and amazed at the sermons they preach. And they're awesome. They preach a good sermon, but it doesn't stick in people's hearts. Big names, well thought of, well spoken of. Then I've sat under some of those ministers that I thought, well, you know, I'm not too sure about this guy. He's soft-spoken. He just reads his scripture. He preaches from the Word of God. He lays the Word out just like God intended it to be laid out. And he just tells it truthfully, just like it is. And he tells it in love and concern. And that encourages me. Now, why is it that lightning scares me, but thunder encourages me? Because the thunder tells me the lightning's coming. You might as well brace yourself. I would rather hear thundering any day than see lightning. Is anybody with me? You understand what I'm saying? I've seen people that have stood under trees or been in the wrong place and lightning strike them. I saw one man, it struck him in the top of the head and came out of his foot and took the end of his shoe off. He had to go to the hospital. He was there for a while and he got over it. He lived beyond it. I've seen and heard about people that lightning struck them. They didn't survive. But I've never heard of anybody killed by thunder. So you and I need to realize what Elijah is saying here. I want a double portion of the Spirit of God. Elijah can't give it to me because it's not his to give. So I'm going to have to get it somewhere else. And if you want a double portion of the Spirit of God, you're going to have to go to the God of heaven who has the power to commit and dedicate and move His Spirit among the people. I love to be in church where you can feel the wave of the Spirit moving back and forth. As they were singing here this morning, I heard people praising and worshiping God and lifting up their hands and feeling the anointing of God. You know what? That's church. That's church. This loud preaching in the pulpit and lightning striking here and there and everywhere, that's not always church. But when you hear the thunder, it's church. It causes you to do great things in the Lord. Elijah saw this mantle, and I don't know how you feel, but in reading and studying this last night, and I did quite a bit of studying about it, I think he was upset with God and a little bit angry. Now, as you know, Elijah went up in the fiery chariot with the horses of God that were on fire. I always told my wife, NR probably heard me say this at Knox Meadows at some point in time, that's the way I want to go. How about that? God send down a chariot of fire and horses of fire and just swoop me up and take me into heaven. You know, my wife can be negative sometimes. You wives, we love you. But sometimes, she said, you might as well not get excited about that because God is not going to do that for you. And I just looked at her with an absolution on my face and I said, how do you know that? Isn't it possible, church, that God could raise us up just like that? Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like when God raises up His children? He's going to raise the dead first. Can you imagine dead people coming out of their graves alive in Jesus Christ? Can you imagine Him raising us up to be with Him and always be with Him in the air? And so the Lord says it's going to be. Can you imagine that today? It causes cold chills to run over me to know that God's going to raise us up. Elijah, you can either be upset about the mantle, you can fuss about it, you can rent your clothes and be as angry with God as you want to be. You can use all the excuses that you want to, that you can't do what Elijah did, but you don't know the Lord God of Elijah. Hallelujah to God. As well as you thought you did. Hallelujah. You just don't know the God of Elijah like Elijah did. God is able to use him, yes. God is able to use you, yes. There's the mantle. If you want to see something happen, if you want to see the church stirred, instead of worrying about what isn't happening, pick up the mantle and do what God told you to do. And quit running to the pastor and saying, what should I do, pastor? He can't tell you always what to do. He might tell you to... Anyway. He might tell you the church down the road's the place for you. I don't think he would do that, but it's possible. Pick up the mantle and strike the Jordan. Oh, Lord, folks, we just don't realize what we're dealing with today. The same, Elisha is saying, what about this, God? You provided for Elijah all these years. Now, what about me? Elijah never did without. Now, Elijah got angry. You know he failed the Lord. How many of you know that? And guess what happened? And guess what caused it? A woman. No offense to you ladies. Please don't take it that way. But Jezebel said after Elijah went and performed his miracle and the 50 priests were destroyed, she went to him and said, you know, God forbid that this doesn't happen to you by this time tomorrow. And Elijah was afraid of Jezebel, and he went out and sat down by himself and prayed, God, take me. He was afraid. Look, church, he just went in and God slayed all these priests, these false prophets of God. He saw them fall by the numbers. And then all of a sudden, one woman stood up and said, I'm going to do the same to you. And what does he do? How can you pray? Well, I think it was a total of 250 prophets of Baal that was destroyed. How can you stand by and watch that happen and then say to yourself, this one lady's got it in for me? If we pastors, if we lived on that philosophy, Brother Enhart, we would be in bad shape, wouldn't we? I don't know how you feel, but here's something that crossed my mind, and our brother didn't ask anything about this. But would you rather this brother spend his time out in the community running around trying to win souls and running to the hospital and nursing home and graveyards and all this stuff and running back and forth and doing maintenance on the church and running around hollering, we need more money, we need more money? Or would you rather this man would go back in his prayer room, in his study room, and get down on his knees before God and say, God, this church needs a message. These people need to hear something. This church needs to be stirred, and I'm their pastor. I need to be able to tell them something. I want him to come out on Sunday morning and preach a word that will be encouraging to me. I want him to preach something that's going to lift me up and strengthen me and give me victory and faith in God that nothing in my path is impossible. Nothing. Nothing can stand between me and my God. If we would just pick up the mantle, and the Bible says the mantle fell beside of Elisha. And I think, this is my thought, now you may feel different, God dared him to pick it up. Anybody with me today, you believe that? Honest to goodness, I believe it. With all my heart, I believe that God let that mantle fall beside of Elijah and just to test him and see if he'd pick it up. And I can see him now standing there looking at him and thought, what good is this to me? I'm just a student. I hear church people like that all the time. What good is it me? What good is it for me to go out in the community? I'm just a church member. Ain't nobody gonna listen to me. They're not gonna listen to you if you don't have something to tell them. And you're not going to have something to tell them if the man don't get in the pulpit and tell it to you like it is. If he don't come with the anointing, if he don't preach with the anointing, if he don't encourage you from the pulpit, now he can be like lightning and strike here and there and everywhere, and people get up and maybe shout in church a little bit or praise the Lord or lift up their hands, and you know what, all that's well and good. It has its place. But God doesn't just want that. God wants us to be stirred up so we can get up and go out and do what He's told us to do. Well, Lord, Brother Martin, there's no way we can do what God has called others to do. Well, I beg to differ with you on that. I want to show you another scripture. If you got your Bibles, open it with me. Look at John chapter 14, verse 12. Now, mark this in your Bible if you haven't already. Because I'm going to tell you this is a diamond in the rough. I don't think enough people read this and understand it. Now you tell me after you hear it whether you listen to it. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. Somebody give me that word. What is that next word? Shout it out. Also, did you hear what Jesus just said? The work that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Also, why? Because I go to the Father. Oh, that excites me. Jesus said, I'm going back to where I came from. I'm going to sit back down on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And I'm going to watch over you, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to walk with you and talk with you and be with you and encourage you and strengthen you and lift you up when you fall down and point you in the right direction when you're going the wrong way. I'm going to send Him down to be with you and in you. And brother, sister, He said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works, because I go to the Father. Where are those greater works today, church? Why are we not out here doing the things that God says that we're able to do? Why are we doubters? Why do we just sit here and look at the mantle and think that it's going to do something by itself? If Elijah had never reached down and picked up that mantle, the Jordan would have never parted. And let me tell you something. 32 miracles would have never happened either. Anybody believe in miracles? Don't raise your hand. Just smile at me. I heard a preacher say not long ago, the days of miracles are over. Do you really believe that? Wow. You know what I think? He ought to get out of the ministry. Now, that's my thought. The works that I do, and greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. If God sent the mantle back to Elijah, to use to perform miracles, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, sent the Holy Spirit back for us to use to perform miracles. And let's go on. You're not going to believe this. A lot of people don't even realize this is in their Bible. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Woo! That's shouting music there. That's that praise, your lifting your hands and praising the Lord music. And whatsoever you ask in my name, what have you asked Him for? I tell you one thing you can ask Him for. God, send your anointing on our pastor. I mean, send an anointing on him. I have preached so hard sometimes it's made people mad. And they left. Good riddance. I have preached so hard at times, and NR was at Max Methods, and he knows I'm telling the truth. I preached so hard at times that it made people glad. And they would gather around the altar and begin to pray. I have seen that burgundy carpet that Max Mendes soaked with the tears of people who believed in God and believed that God was still able and put their faith and hope and trust in Him. And their lives were changed. There were marriages that were mended. There were unruly children that were brought back to God. There were unsaved people who were saved in the church. There were needs met. There were Christians who were nothing but complainers who found something to shout about. Hallelujah. I wish God would give us a shout back, don't you? Oh, Pastor, I don't like noise in the church. You know what I had somebody say to me one time? That couple back toward the back there. And I'm not talking about here. This happened at another church. Pastor, that couple back toward the back there that's got that little baby that cries so much, you need to tell them they need to take that baby out. You know what my response was? Say what? You know what my real feelings were? Some of you ought to be crying like that. Wouldn't you love it? Brother, wouldn't you love it to look back over the church and see people with tears running down their face and just squalling like a baby? I looked at him and I said, you know what? That baby crying back there is telling me there's new life in this church. Oh, hallelujah to God. There's somebody that's alive in this church. Nobody else may want to shout. Nobody else may want to cry. Nobody else may not want to praise. But let me tell you something. That little baby back there toward the back of the church is telling us there's still hope for the church today. There is still a church that's in this world that God is still using, that God is still blessing. It's not, hallelujah to God, it's not over with yet. It's just now beginning. Let the baby cry. Now let me say this. If they take a tantrum, mothers, if they take a tantrum, take them out of the church and take them back to the ladies' room or back in one of these empty rooms, Sunday school rooms here, and tell them about it. You know what I mean? Oh, preacher, we can't do that. My mom and dad did. My mom didn't whip me very often, but my dad didn't mind laying it to me. And I turned out all right. I'm not completely right, but I'm all right. God, you know what? You know what we ought to be praying today? God, let some babies cry in our church. Let them make a little noise. We had some church people come to one of our churches after I left Max Meadows, and they came, and when they took over our nursery, they took over with the children, and they started. I told them, I said, I want them to come up to the sanctuary at least once a month. Now, a lot of these were teenagers. You know, teenagers cry too. If they don't have a cell phone or a tablet, or if you don't have Wi-Fi in the church, you know, they will take those tantrums too. But I said, I'd like for them to come up at least once a month. Not, maybe not the little bitty ones, but the ones that, you know, bring them up, and I want them to know what it's like to worship God. Wouldn't you love for your children to know what it's like to get touched by the hand of God and feel the Spirit of God? I want them to know what I want them to feel what I felt when I was growing up. I want them, Brother Enar, to feel some of those blessings that God used to send over Max Meadows. We'd be in the church, and either during the singing or during the preaching, the wave of God's Spirit would just go over one side and up the other. And I'm telling you one thing, people would get up and start praising God and giving God thanks and glory and clapping their hands and tears running down their face, and then just start glorifying God and run to the altar. Don't you feel like you have to take those babies out? Now let me tell you something. Sometimes they cry because they need to be changed. I should not say that. Some of our older ones might ought to. Well, anyway. Some of our adults might need to be taken out to the pastor's study, or you know where I'm coming from. God said, the work that I do, you're going to do even greater. And still today, are we not still waiting on that greater works ministry? I've talked about it for years. You've talked about it. I've heard preachers talk about it for years. This greater works ministry that God is sending our way. And we're still sitting around waiting for it to happen. You know what we're doing? I'm not even close to being out of water. See, you didn't know that was me they were talking. You didn't know that was me that they were talking about. Jesus said, I go to the Father. And I'm going to send you another Comforter who shall be with you and in you, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And whatsoever things everything I have said to you, He's going to bring to your remembrance. You're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. You're going to see it. You're going to experience it. You're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be worth coming to church for. Pastor, get up in this pulpit and preach a word that will be to these people. Not lightning all the time, but preach a little thunder every now and then. Preach something that's encouraging every now and then. Give us something that motivates us. I would much rather walk out of this church, and you write this down if you want to. I'd rather walk out of this church crying than I would shouting. The Spirit of God moved in such a way, the preacher got up and preached a message Sunday morning. Man, let me tell you something, it went all the way down to my soul. I felt something in me. It wasn't shouting preaching. It was something that got, oh, hallelujah to God. It was something that got down inside of me that stirred me up and made me want to get up and not leave the church, but get up and do something good. Elijah smote the river, and to his surprise and amazement, the waters rolled back. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You can write this down. If you listen to God, He's going to do things that will surprise and amaze you. How many times have I scratched my head and said, God, I never expected it to go that way. Lord, I wasn't prepared for that. I thought I knew how it was going to go. I know how this stuff works. I've been in the ministry 47 years. I know how all this stuff goes. I got it all. You know, I haven't, but some preachers do. And just when I think I know what God's going to do, guess what He does? Something just the opposite of what I expected Him to do. That's just the way He is. That's just the way He is. Listen to verse 16. Well, let's go to 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a good starting place. That's where you get on that. And then listen to verse 15. Well, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen to 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I don't know if you have the Holy Spirit or not. But I know this, He's available to everyone that desires Him. Stand with me this morning. I got to studying and made 2 pages of notes, and I didn't get to one part of one page. So maybe I can come back and share the other 3 parts at another time. Elijah said, what about me, Lord? Now that you've taken my master away, now that you've taken my leader away, now that you've taken the pastor that I love so much, oh, Lord, nobody will ever fill his shoes. Nobody will ever preach like he did. I pastored a church not long ago, and they cried when I left. And they said, Brother Martin, we'll never have another pastor like you. I was gone less than 6 months and never got a call from not one of them. And to this day, I haven't got a call from one of them. If I was such a great pastor and I had encouraged them and been such a blessing, the guy they got, they said they didn't like. But they forgot about me in the process. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's the way the ball rolls sometimes. Listen, here's what I want you to hear, and I want you to take this with you today. There's a mantle from God laying on the floor right beside of you. It's your decision whether or not to pick it up. If you don't pick it up, shame on you. Because God has some great works to do in this church. God has some great things that He wants to do here. But He needs you. And He needs your help. Don't sit back and wait on the pastor to do it all. I had a lady tell me the other day, they got a new pastor. He's full time. I go by their church every now and then. I see his car sitting there. His car sits at the church 8 hours a day. And I met some of the church members that don't live far from me, and they said he never visits us. We've been sick. His wife had cancer. And he said, that the pastor never visits us. I asked the young lady that was talking to me, I said, what does your pastor do 8 hours a day there at the church? Well, he's been changing light bulbs. I thought, God, how many light bulbs is in that church? He's been cleaning up some of the rooms, and you leave that stuff alone. There's work to be done. There's people that are sick and needy and people that are hurting. There's people that God needs to help and wants to help. And you and I need to be out there doing it. And we need to pray for our pastor as he does it. We need to take him on our heart. You don't want Brother N.R. in here changing light bulbs all day long, do you? If he's going to come here and park his car out front, and the pastor does that right in front of the church so everybody can see it, at least go... My advice to him is at least go into the pastor's study and get this book and get down on your knees and talk to the author. One song says, call him up and tell him what you want. Pastor, get on your knees and open this book and say, God, what does my church need Sunday? What do I need to preach to them Sunday morning? What do I need to preach to them Sunday night? What can I say to them that would be encouraging? I don't want to just get in the pulpit and make noise. Anybody can do that. I want to get in the pulpit and say something that will go way down into that person's heart and stir them up to the point, now you take this as I say it, that will stir them up. When you meet people out here at the Dollar General, you say, oh, you ought to have been at church with us that night. How many of us do that? You go to Kroger's or Food Lion, whoever you have here. You go over to Rainey's Toyota to buy a new car. And you say, boy, I tell you one thing. You ought to have been in church with us Sunday night. This is what the pastor told us. Woo, hallelujah to God. You go to your neighbor that you never talked to. They live right next door to you, and you've never darkened their door, and they've never darkened yours. If they put a fence post on your property, God have mercy on them. But if they put a foot on your property, God have mercy on them. But if you don't put a foot on their property and tell them about Jesus, God have mercy on us. pastor did in that pulpit. I'm praying for you. You need to tell this man and encourage him every day. He didn't ask me to do any of this. As a matter of fact, he told me, he said, you preach whatever God lays on your heart. I'm not asking you to. You just tell the church whatever God lays on your heart. Here's what's on my heart. I want a man to stand in that pulpit or walk the aisles of this church and tell me that Jesus loves me, that He's willing to save me, that He's willing to change me, that He'll make me new, and that He'll put a joy in my heart that I have never experienced anywhere else in my life. Brother Martin, I've been a Christian for 100 years. Oh, I've got to stop, but I've got to share this with you. As an evangelist many years ago, you see my gray hair, it was many years ago, I went to church to preach a revival. They had some wonderful musicians. Man, they could play and sing. I preached the message one night on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And people came and prayed around. We had 7, 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old kids that lined up around the pulpit praying, crying, tears running down their face. I'll never forget this one young boy. He was about 8 years old. He prayed and prayed and cried, and then he got up and started walking around laying hands on all of the rest of those little kids. God filled them with the Holy Spirit. Walking out of the church that night, and you listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Walking out of that church that night, I was standing at the door greeting the people on their way out. The piano player who had played the piano for 25 years. That's right, 25 years. Walked up to me and said, "Brother Martin, I want to tell you something. I want to talk to you about something. I don't want everybody in the church to know, but I want to talk to you about something." She said, "You know, I have been here all this time and never received the Holy Spirit. 25 years I have played that piano and have never taken the time to get on my knees and ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit." I said, I looked at her just like I'm looking at you today. I said, "Sister, there needs to be a change in your life. You leave that piano alone. It'll be all right. If we have music, fine. If we don't have music, that's okay too. You get away from that piano and get on your knees and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because if you want to play a piano and play it good, you need the Holy Spirit." She went home, came back the next night, walked right straight up to the piano. And I walked over to her and I said, "Sister Betty, you remember what I told you?" She said, "Oh, Brother Martin, that's taken care of." I said, "What?" She said, "I went home last night, laid across my bed, and I said, 'God, I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit tonight. 25 years in the making, but I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit right here on my bed tonight.'" And she said, "The Holy Spirit moved over me. I spoke in tongues. I lifted my hands. I praised the Lord. I got up and danced in the aisle of my house. I run in and out. My husband thought I was losing my mind. He thought I was going crazy. But," she said, "I received that night what I had needed for 25 long years. And now I look back and say, 'My God, why did I wait that long? Why, Lord, did I wait that long?'" Doesn't matter to me this morning how long you've been waiting. God will save you right now, sanctify you, fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you can walk out of here a new person. Let me tell you something. The preaching sounds a whole lot better once you get filled with the Spirit. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. And while they're playing here today, I pray, God, that you haven't waited no 25 years. If you have, shame on you. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to be. Let me rephrase that. You better be. You see the shape this world's in? You see the mess that this world is in? we're closing in on the day that Jesus is coming. And we need to be ready. If you're here today and you haven't experienced sanctification, if God just hasn't cleaned you up like He needs to, you still have those old habits, you still have some of those old things that you used to do in the past, and they just irritate you. And you'd love to quit doing it. You'd love to get over it. You need to come to this altar. But you too, this morning, that need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, bless God, this is the day. This is the time. This is the hour. Today's your day. Brother Martin, we got food waiting in the back. That's okay. We got food waiting up here too. God will feed you with the Holy Spirit right here this morning. The food will be a lot better back there if you eat up here first. So I'm going to ask, while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask, is there anyone here this morning you would like to be saved and you'd like to step out of your seat and walk to this aisle and let's pray with you? There's people in this church waiting to lay hands on you and pray with you. We want you to be saved. We want you to be saved. You haven't received sanctification in your heart yet. You're still dealing with some of those old habits that you dealt with as a sinner, and you're just really having a rough time giving them up and getting rid of them. Would you like to come forward this morning and say, Brother Martin, I'd like you to pray, I'd like for the church to pray for me. Would you come? Would you come? Now here's the life-changing question. Are you here this morning and you have not received the Holy Spirit as of yet? You've come to the altar, you've been blessed, you cried home, you pleaded with God. You pray and seek the face of God, but for whatever reason you just can't seem to pray through. Or maybe you just at this point haven't felt like it was that important. You're saved and you're ready for heaven and you just don't... Oh, church is important this morning. Are you here this morning and you haven't received the Holy Spirit and you'd like to come forward and let us pray with you? I promise you we won't embarrass you in any way. In no way, shape, or form would we ever do anything to embarrass you or to make you feel uncomfortable. But we will pray for you and help you to receive the Holy Spirit if you'll come. Is there anyone? I know there are some here that doesn't. That you don't have the Holy Spirit, but you're reluctant. There's something holding you back. Let go of that seat. Let go of the seat in front. This is what I dealt with. I like to never let go of the seat to go forward. My wife had to keep pushing me. She pushed me right out into the aisle, basically. And when I came to the altar, I was totally different from that moment on. Are you here this morning? Are you here? Don't let anybody stand in your way. Your wife, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, grandparents, the pastor, church members. Don't you let anybody stand in your way of coming forward and seeking the promises of God. Come on. We'd love for you to come this morning. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Pastor's appreciation and some people get saved, sanctified, or filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be wonderful this morning? He would be the happiest man. Better than going back here eating, he would rather pray with you. I hope that we've said something this morning. You take my word, heed my warning this morning, church. Reach down. Quit doubting God and reach down and pick up that mantle and do what God told you to do. And your life will never be the same. Elijah never was the same. Elijah, 16 miracles. Elijah, 32. Double portion. Double portion. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning and we're going to just believe that God is going to touch your life. Now, you don't have to receive these blessings at church. You can receive them at home like that piano player. But I'm telling you this morning, you need to seek. You need to seek. Father, we thank you for the privilege to come to prayer. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Enar and Sarah. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch them and bless them. We ask that you'll bless this church. And we ask that you'll meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory. We pray, God, that they will see greater works ministry take place in this church. That things will happen here that they've never seen happen before. And they won't be afraid, but they'll be excited. Bless them and meet all their needs. And may this church grow in spirit and in people and in finances. In every way, God, let this church... No, don't just let it, but make it grow. Make it grow. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. God bless you is our prayer. Again, I apologize for my wife not being here with me. She wanted to be. Her heart was here. So you pray for her. God bless you, Brother Mara and Sarah. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for allowing us to come and share with you. Maybe next time we come, we'll be over this dental work and be able to preach. We appreciate you so much. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Martin. Can you show your appreciation to Brother Martin?